If you don't know what something should cost, it's easy to overpay. That's especially true with life insurance.
I am Rob West.
If you have loved ones who depend on your income, having the appropriate amount of life insurance is an essential part of your financial plan. Today, I'll tell you how to avoid paying too much for it. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, so first of all, you won't find the expression life insurance in God's Word. But the concept of needing to financially support your family is certainly clear. 1 Timothy 5:8 reads, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So for the vast majority of us, life insurance is a must. Overpaying for it, though, is not. Let's start then with a question. How much should a 20-year policy providing $250,000 in coverage for a 30-year-old cost per year? Well, a recent survey asked that question and found that most respondents, especially millennials, think the cost would be around $1,000 a year. But the actual price tag is only about $160 a year. That means a lot of folks are setting themselves up to overpay. Here's how to make sure you're not one of them. First, avoid choosing whole life over term insurance. Don't get caught up in the idea that your policy should have a cash value during your lifetime, instead of what it will do for your family if you should die. Whole, permanent, or universal life insurance policies build a cash value that you can tap into for certain things while you're still alive. But that's very expensive money. You'll be far ahead if you invest the difference between a whole life and a term policy in your retirement account. Instead of getting snared by a policy's cash value, think instead about how much insurance you actually need to protect your loved ones, which is usually 10 to 15 times your annual salary. Then look for the least expensive term policy that provides that amount if you die during the policy's term. You also want to pay attention to costly add-ons, which the industry calls riders. While these can help you customize your policy to fit a specific need you might have, they can also run up the cost. You especially want to avoid something called a return of premium rider. Check that box on your application, and the insurance provider will give you back all of the premiums you paid when the policy expires. If that sounds like a deal too good to be true, well, that's because it is. That one rider alone could double your premiums and keep you from getting the returns you'll realize if you invest the difference instead. So you want to stay away from anything that promises to repay your premiums. Another rider to watch out for is accidental death. It raises the death benefit if death results from an accident, but the restrictions as to what type of accident and under what circumstances it applies to severely limit its usefulness. Plus, if you take out enough coverage to begin with, you really don't need an accidental death rider. Now, another way you can overpay for life insurance is when the provider doesn't require you to have a medical exam. These are called guaranteed issue policies. Most companies, for most policies, will require you to get a checkup and have blood work done. Of course, sometimes a policy that doesn't require a medical exam is just what the doctor ordered, pun intended. For example, if you have a pre-existing condition that makes it impossible to get a standard policy, but keep in mind that you'll almost certainly have higher premiums and less coverage with a guaranteed issue policy. You also want to avoid something called an ART policy. That's A-R-T, an acronym for Annual Renewable Term. At first glance, these look very attractive because the premiums start out low. You're guaranteed coverage for the life of the term, but each year you have to renew the policy, and each year your premiums increase. It won't happen right away, but at some point, you'll be paying more than you would for a standard policy. So again, go with a simple term policy that has level premiums throughout its entire term. All right, so I've shared some ideas on the way to get the best price on life insurance, but perhaps the last way, and maybe the biggest, isn't so obvious. It's to act while you're still young. Make sure you buy a policy right now if you can, and get it for as long as you can, as long as it fits into your budget. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. If there is a favorite word in the Bible, it has to be the simple word look. Other translations may use an older term, behold. It's a call to consider, to let what you see change your life. Behold, Psalm 33 tells us, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. He sees us. Do we see him? That's the question we must answer. But how can we see an invisible God? It's like having a veil over our eyes. Paul's words in 2 Corinthians, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed, and we, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. It happens by faith now. One day, faith turns to sight. Spend more time with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
In a world where everyone's opinion is considered equally valid, Christian beliefs are under attack. More than ever, we need to stand firm on the clear teaching of God's Word. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress begins a brand new series called What Every Christian Should Know. Join us for foundational teaching on the Bible, God, and Jesus Christ this week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today as we turn the corner toward any financial topic, whatever you're thinking about today. We'd love to hear from you and apply the wisdom from God's Word, the principles, the big ideas and themes to our role as stewards or managers of God's resources. Our goal and objective? Well, to be found faithful, obedient to the Father over a long period of time as we manage the resources of the King of Kings, using money as a tool, not an end, but a means to an end to accomplish His purposes in our lives and in the lives of others. Let's do that together today with your questions and comments. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Pat Montague standing by, ready to take your calls. We'll get you on the air quickly and look forward to hearing from you.
Today, we'll in addition to taking your questions, tackle a couple of emails that we've received recently from you. You're welcome to write to us at any time at questions@faithfi.com, and we'll try to get as many of those as we can on the air. If you're just tuning in, perhaps this is your first time to listen during this broadcast week, you might be surprised by the name. That's right, we've just gone through a name change here at the start of the year from MoneyWise to our new program name, Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. It's an opportunity for us to strengthen the way we express the Christian worldview of money, really recognizing that our legacy is a lot more than just being wise with money. It's really about how our faith can inform our financial decisions. And so our new name, Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, and our brand new website, which you can check out when you visit faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Check it out today. A lot of great content. You can jump into our community and you can download the FaithFi app. All right, let's head to the phones today. Again, we've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. We're going to begin in Arkansas. Hi, Lana. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you. My question is, I have a cash value policy, life insurance policy of $350,000. It cost about $7,000 a year to fund it. Was told it was a better policy because it's going to pay me back, and it does have some equity built up in it. And I'm just curious, is that really a good policy? It's way more than what our debt is. We really don't have much debt at all. So I also have a savings, and was told that if I would take that money out of the savings, which is in a bank, it would draw way more money in that policy because it draws 3% interest.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm not a big fan of permanent insurance or what you might call whole life insurance. I mean, more than 60% of policies sold today are whole life policies. The challenge is only about 30% of the total face value that are in force are permanent life insurance policies. And the reason is they're a lot more expensive, and so you get a lot less death benefit for them. And I'm just not a big fan of the savings component of these permanent policies, because I think you can do better with your savings outside of a life insurance policy. And so my approach is to say, well, let's get the death benefit we need for the period of time that we need it, and let's make sure that we have enough coverage so that it truly is offsetting the risk, which is usually a loss of income for a spouse in the event of the other spouse's death. And so as a starting point, I would say let's look at 10 to 12 times that spouse's income while they're working. But once we get into retirement and we've got the assets we need to fund our retirement, if the Lord takes one of the spouses home, then there's really not a hardship that's created there, and therefore there's not a need for life insurance at that point. And so that's why I'd rather keep my insurance separate in a cheap term policy where I get plenty of death benefit, but only for the period of time that I need it. At some point, I drop that altogether, and I'm doing my investing and my savings outside of that insurance policy. Now, given where you are today, obviously you've got a pretty massive policy with quite a bit of cash value. And I think the first question is, do you still need the death benefit? Is there even a reason to continue with this policy? Because if not, we could close the policy. And then the question is that cash value that's built up best in the place that it is now inside the insurance product, or is it better outside of an insurance product? And if that's the case, then we just go ahead and surrender the policy and take the cash value. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But so would I be able to go to a term policy? Because wouldn't I need a term policy at that point if I did that?
Well, that's the question. So let's talk about that. Are you and or your spouse still working?
Yeah, he'll retire in one more year.
Okay.
And I'm still working. I'm only 56.
Okay, great. Yeah, so I think the question is, how much life insurance do you need? So you wouldn't want to do anything with that policy until you had a replacement policy in force. And so what you may want to do is decide, okay, do you need a death benefit on his life, given that he's only going to work for another year? Or if you know, something were to happen to him, you know, is it really your income plus the assets, retirement assets he's already accumulated that would sustain you? And if that's the case, there's really not a need for a life insurance policy on him. If you're going to work, let's say, another 10 years, perhaps we get a term policy on you, just a 10-year policy for, I would say, as a starting point, perhaps 10 to 12 times your income. And then if something were to happen to you during this 10-year period of time, he's got that amount that he could then convert to an income stream to continue to fund his lifestyle. It's probably going to be a whole lot less expensive. You fit that into the budget. And once that is in force, then you could look at, you know, collapsing that cash value policy and pulling that money out and putting it to work somewhere else.
I think that was the other thing that I was told from our agent also, is that the money in there is much safer than a bank, because even though they're FDIC assured, they really don't even have enough money to pay a dollar, where this supposedly company has more than enough to pay on the dollar. And if I were to pull it out, where do I take that money to invest that does draw money that is a safe place?
Yeah. Well, I think that's what we need to look at. What is the internal rate of return in the policy? Do you know what you're getting currently?
Meaning?
How is the money doing? How is it growing annually right now?
Well, it grows by 3%, I believe, annually. And okay. It's in a savings account. I have money in a savings account that's not even growing, I don't even think, 2%.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So they've explained that banks are not as safe as what they say they are, that if something were to happen and it crashed, you won't be getting back what you have in that bank. And
well,
that this particular place is safer because you will get back the dollar.
Yeah. Yeah, I would take issue with that. I mean, a couple of things. Number one is you can, you know, right now in an online FDIC insured savings account, you can get about, you know, between 3 and 3.5% completely liquid right now. I think the other opportunity for you would be to say, if you were going to pull it out, you know, there would be an opportunity to deploy that into, let's say, U.S. Treasuries. You could look at short-term, you know, U.S. bonds. You could look at high-yield corporate bonds. You are taking a little bit of risk. And so if you want a guaranteed product, you know, that may be the place to leave it, or you could, you know, move it into an annuity. In terms of the safety, I'd take the full faith and credit of the United States government over an insurance company any day. I realize we have some real problems and challenges in this country, but at the same time, we're still the biggest and largest economy in the world. The U.S. is not going to default. If we're going to have a debt crisis, it's pretty far down the road, and I would take the backing of the government over this insurance company in terms of safety, if that's what we're looking at. Let's do this. I've got to hit a quick break. You stay there and we'll finish up right after this. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
So they asked me to enter my email address. And the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away, sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Money Wise. Well, I say Money Wise. That's the old name. It's now Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I knew I would do it at some point, and there it was. It took me 3 days, though, into the new year for it to happen. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That is still the number, 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Lana in Arkansas about a whole life insurance policy she has, wondering if that's the best place for her to continue to grow her assets. And Lana, what I was saying is, I think the first question is, are we in need of a death benefit for you or your husband? Your husband's only a year out for retirement. Perhaps we're nearing the end of a death benefit on his life payable to you as a beneficiary, given that he's no longer going to be working. If you're working somewhere between 8 and 10 more years, then you know we certainly need a life insurance policy on you, because if the Lord were to take you home, then your husband's going to be without that income, and we wouldn't want that to place a hardship on his life. The least expensive way to cover that risk is probably a 10-year term policy where you can get enough death benefit that it really does truly offset that risk. And then the question is, where's the best place to grow that money? And you could certainly use an insurance product. An alternative to a whole life policy, which pays out a death benefit, would be an annuity. If you're wanting to transfer the risk away from yourself and place that risk on an insurance company, and you'd be have more peace of mind with a guaranteed product like an annuity, then you could take that cash value, put it into an annuity, and then get a guaranteed rate of return per year that you could ultimately take out as a lump sum or convert it to an income stream in retirement, and you're not having to worry about the stock market or anything else. What I was saying was, in terms of the safety, if you're talking about a banking crisis where, you know, we may have serious solvency or liquidity problems that results in a banking collapse, I don't see that on the horizon. Yes, we have our challenges in this country that we need to deal with, but we're still the largest and strongest economy in the world. I wouldn't bet against the U.S. right now in terms of, you know, any time in the near future. And if we had a banking collapse, it would certainly affect the insurance company that, you know, you're putting your trust in. So I would, you know, look toward the safety of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the full backing of the U.S. government, as the ultimate safety, even given the challenges that we have in this country. So I wouldn't be concerned about that. I think the question is just, where can you get the rate of return you're looking for? We've got higher yields now because interest rates are up. They won't be up this high forever. They can't be. We won't grow this economy if we keep them up here. And so right now, I think the rates we're seeing on savings accounts at 3.5% guaranteed are temporary. Whereas if you want to lock in something at 3 or 4% in an insurance contract, that is still possible. You know, but you'd probably want to look to switch from a cash value life insurance policy, whole life permanent policy, to probably an annuity product at that point, where you're not having to fund the increasing mortality expense of the death benefit as you and your husband age. Does all that make sense? And give me your thoughts. Oh, I think we lost Lana. I appreciate, Lana, you calling. I hope that's helpful. At least it gives you something to think about and perhaps talk to your advisor about as you think through the best next step for you. We appreciate you being a part of the program. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Mississippi. Hi, Joyce. Go right ahead.
Thank you. I have a CD that has matured, and another bank is offering a 5 months for 4.50 and a 13 months for 4.25. Which of those do you think would be better to do right now?
Yes, ma'am. So you said 13 months at 4.25, is that right? And what was the first option?
Yes. And 5 months for 4.5.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty good. 5 months at 4.5 is better than, you know, what we're typically seeing out there. You know, right now the average 1 year CD is paying somewhere between, you know, 4.1 and 4.5. So if you could get 4.5 for 5 months, that would allow you to then roll that over in 5 months and probably get a little bit of a higher rate because we're expecting interest rates to continue to climb this year with a target of 5% for the Fed funds rate. And that's going to mean higher CD yields as well. Is that coming from a credit union or a local bank? Where are you getting that offer?
A local bank.
Okay. And it's FDIC insured?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's about the best I've heard right now. I mean, I usually look at bankrate.com, which is a website where you can go in and see what the best rates are right now. They also rate the banks just in terms of their strength and their customer service. And, you know, what you'll find right now with the highest rated online banks is you're going to be looking at about 4.3% for a year. So if you can do 4.5 for 5 months and then take advantage of rolling that over to something higher, which we would expect to be available 5 months from now, I think that's probably a pretty good option, Joyce.
Okay. That was my question. You're thinking that it probably will go higher. I didn't know whether to lock in the 13 months at 4.25 or hopefully, you know, the 4.5 would be even higher. So I think maybe you have answered my question.
Yes, ma'am. I would fully expect 5 months from now there to be rates that are available that are higher than they are today, just given what we know about what the Fed is projecting over that period of time.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, Joyce. Thank you for calling and for listening today. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, taking your calls and questions today. To Louisiana we go. Hi, Mary. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm doing awesome.
Good. How can I help you?
Well,
you know what? Let's do this. I apologize. I didn't realize the clock was saying. So I'm going to ask you to hang on the line because I've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to your question. So thanks for being on the program. You stay right there and you'll be first up just around the corner. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and we'll be back with much more right after this. Stay with us.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free faith and finance account. Just visit faithfi.com and click sign up.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. You know, one of the big ideas that we see in Scripture related to handling God's money is contentment. The question is, how do you increase your contentment? Well, I think the key to that is to focus on what God has given you and not on what He's given others. You know, comparison is the contentment killer. And so let's raise our expectations in the presence, power, and faithfulness of the living God that we serve and live within God's provision with contentment and joy and gratitude. And if we do that, it changes our perspective entirely. All right, we're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we had a chance to say hello to Mary in Louisiana. And Mary, I had to hit that break so you didn't get to ask your question, so you go right ahead.
Okay, I'm 77 years old, and I'm taking care of a disabled daughter. And now they're paying me. I started in Feb, and I'm still working now. And I was wondering, since, you know, being at this age, about taxes, do I pay taxes in that line?
Yes, you do. So your age is really not a factor with regard to whether you pay taxes or not on your Social Security benefits and anything else that you earn beyond that. It really is a function of the amount of income that you have. So if, as an individual filing a federal tax return, not as a filing jointly, but filing as an individual, you'll pay taxes on up to 85% of your Social Security benefits if your income exceeds $25,000. So that's your Social Security plus any additional income that you earn, and that's your adjusted gross income, any interest income, and half of your Social Security benefits. That's what they call your combined income. If that goes over $25,000, then those Social Security benefits will be taxed. Now, if your daughter is living with you, then, you know, there's a potential that, you know, you could claim her as a dependent. And so that would help. And if she's disabled, there could be other deductions based on her special needs. So I would perhaps, if you haven't used a tax preparer in the past, Mary, this might be the year to do it, just to make sure you're taking advantage of any available deduction that you may have coming your way. Because, as I said, there's no age limit for paying taxes. It's really all a function of the income you have coming in.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Okay, you answered my question. Yes, thank you so much.
Very good, Mary. Listen, all the best to you, and thanks for calling today. 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open here in nearly the last segment, not quite there yet, so we've still got plenty of time. So whatever you're thinking about today, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000. To Farmington, Missouri. Hi, Rachel. Go right ahead.
Good morning. I have a question about the online CDs that you have mentioned several times. How do we access those?
Yeah, so I think the first question would be, if you want to use an online bank, which often they will have the most compelling CD rates. Now, as you heard with a previous caller today, sometimes a local bank, just because they have, you know, excess funds, take in, and, you know, they're willing to pay at a pretty attractive rate. You might find that with a credit union as well. So it doesn't ever hurt to look locally, but if you want to compare that against the online banks, I'd probably use either bankrate.com as a website to evaluate which online banks have the very best CD rates at the moment, or you could use something like NerdWallet, but I like bankrate.com. You'd basically select the banking product you're looking for, and they do everything from comparing, you know, mortgage and, car loan interest rates to, CDs and savings accounts. So you just click that you want to check, you want to look at the CD rates that are available, and then you can actually define even the term that you're looking for. Do you want only 1-year CDs, or do you want, you know, to go all the way up to 5 years? And then it'll provide a listing of the, you know, banks that have the very best rates at that moment, and they have a 5-star rating system that rates the strength of the financial institution. Now, these would all be backed by the FDIC, so against a collapse, but that would take some time. So it's never a bad idea to go with even an online bank that's, you know, rated pretty strongly in terms of their assets and capital reserves, but also their customer service. So that would be where I would go, Rachel, to at least do some comparison shopping, if you will. Does that make sense?
That makes sense, and thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, Rachel, thank you for listening and calling today. God bless you. We appreciate it very much. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. 800-525-7000. You know, we hear from so many of you by email as well. And by the way, if you'd like to get your email read on the air, send it along to us at questions@faithfi.com. By the way, that's our brand new website. If you haven't checked it out, it just launched this week. We'd love for you to take a peek at faithfi.com. Let me tackle one of these emails that just came in recently. And this one comes to us from Albert, and he writes, I want to be a good steward. If we are in the last times, should I continue to invest for my retirement, or should I increase my giving to the Lord's work? And Albert, I love this question. As you said right at the outset, you want to be a good steward. And so ultimately, it requires you to be on your knees saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? Because each of us are charged with being stewards of his resources entrusted to us. And so ultimately, we look to God's word. And I love that you're seeking wise counsel as well. Given that we don't know the day or the hour, and the Bible is pretty clear about that on the return of the Lord, I think we just need to be wise in handling God's money to the best of our ability, no matter whether that's the Lord's coming back today or it's going to be 10,000 years from now. Because remember, a day is 1,000 years with the Lord. And so what does good stewardship look like? Well, I think with regard to our accumulation, you mentioned retirement, we always need to be asking, how much is enough? And we need to ask that question honestly before the Lord to say, what should my financial finish line be, both with regard to my lifestyle, that is my spending, but also my accumulation, my saving? And there's not a right or wrong answer there. Again, I think that's a question you need to ask on your knees before the Lord. What does it look like to provide for my family and myself? And what's an appropriate amount? And if I'm not supposed to be, as a believer, about the mindless accumulation of wealth, there, you know, by perhaps slipping into the rich fool that we see in the Bible who was just building bigger barns, then what is that appropriate level or lifestyle for me, living in the most prosperous nation in the history of the world? Well, I think we need to ask that question honestly before the Lord and allow Him to give us some wisdom there to set that finish line. And to your question about giving, absolutely, we need to be giving. You know, when we look at the New Testament, we really don't see a whole lot talked about related to saving. Now, we look at the Council of Scripture, clearly I think we should, especially in Proverbs, we should be setting something aside for the future to provide for ourselves and others. That's just wise stewardship. But the big theme that really jumps off the page in the Old and the New Testament is giving, even sacrificially. Remember the widow who gave out of her poverty? So I think we should give lavishly. And again, it all starts with you on your knees saying, God, what would you have me to do? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Mr. Biden declared people of goodwill must unite to make it clear that violence and intimidation have no place in America. I applaud his appeal. Violence is increasingly used to get what we want. I wonder if Mr. Biden knows pro-life pregnancy centers are 22 times more likely to be attacked than abortion facilities. Political correctness shouldn't control our use of violence. Biblical values should. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
At Faith and Finance, we're on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word. We're working to meet people right where they are through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from this program, would you consider becoming a monthly Faith and Finance patron? Check out all of the benefits of a Faith and Finance patron's membership at faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Taking your calls and questions today on anything financial, 800-525-7000. It's our last segment, so let's get through as many questions as we can. To Virginia we go. Sean, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Rob?
I'm great.
I'm calling. I'm interested in, I just started my career. I focused all my attention on being a software engineer. So I got out of a bad work environment, and I started working as a software engineer, and I just started making a lot of money, and I have this access money now, and I'm wondering what I should be doing with it and where I should be putting this access cash now. I'm newly married and I have a newborn as well. So if any advice you can give me, it'd be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, very good. Well, congratulations on getting this new job and having a young family and wanting to honor God with the resources he's entrusted to you. That's great. You know, I think one of the big ideas to recognize, Sean, is that, you know, what naturally tends to happen is that our level of spending rises to our level of income unless we protest to the contrary. And so one of the things to guard yourself on is allowing your lifestyle to just automatically increase as you get pay increases. Now, there's nothing wrong with, you know, as you start to make a little bit more money, wanting to buy a bigger house and, you know, have a few things to enjoy. And so, you know, I'm not saying that that's a flawed thinking, but I also don't want you to just automatically allow your lifestyle to just increase every time you get a pay increase, because your ability to cap that at various points and at some point to say, you know, this is enough, I've reached my finish line in terms of lifestyle, is going to give you more and more margin that you can use to fund your other goals beyond just your monthly expenses, like increasing your giving, you know, saving to buy, you know, a house or your next house, being able to fund retirement, being able to put something away for those, you know, kids that the Lord has blessed you with for college. You know, all of that I think is really critical. So where do you go from here? Well, it starts with recognizing God owns it all and you're a steward. I would prioritize your giving. And so I would encourage you and your wife to sit down and say, what do we want to be giving, both systematically and sacrificially? Systematically is in proportion to our income. And I like the tithe, a tenth as a starting point there, but it's not going to happen unless you get it in right up front. And then you're going to want to look at the rest of your bills and develop a spending plan that says, okay, with the resources God has entrusted to us, after we give to the Lord, what do we want to spend for our lifestyle, and what's the, you know, right mix of both fixed and discretionary expenses, and how are we going to control the flow of money coming in and out, especially now that we have a bit more? And that's where I think having a spending plan, but also a control system like the FaithFi app or some other system to make sure that you're, you know, when you reach your limit in eating out, you're done for the month, and you wait until the next month to spend more out of that category, because that's then going to give you margin so that you can define your goals both for the short term and the long term. Some ideas on those goals, and that's all they are because ultimately this is your call, would be an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months expenses. If you don't have that, I'd work toward funding that in a separate, probably online savings account where you're getting a little bit of interest. Beyond that, I would define, you know, what other goals you have. I think retirement would be great to start sooner rather than later. If you have a company-sponsored plan at work, especially if there's matching, I'd start there. The goal would be to get your retirement savings of 10 to 15% of your pay going into either a company-sponsored plan or something like a Roth IRA for you and your wife. I think that would be a great next goal. Beyond that, I'd look at other goals you have, maybe to buy another car or replace a car without having to take out a big loan. So you'd want to save for that. Maybe the purchase of your next home if you need a little bit more space, as the Lord, you know, if he were to bless you with additional kids. You know, so those would be the things that I'd be looking at. And then perhaps the other piece of this is just making sure you're properly insured, just in terms of disability insurance, life insurance, you know, making sure you have good health insurance, those types of things. Of course, I've thrown a lot at you there, Sean, so give me whatever questions or thoughts you have.
Oh, no, you gave me a lot to think about, so I'm definitely going to have to digest that a little bit more with my wife. So
yeah, that sounds great.
The help.
You're welcome. Let me do two things to get you started, okay? One is I want to send you a copy of Ron Blue's book, Master Your Money. I'd love for you and your wife to read that together. I think that'll give you a really good, solid understanding of biblical money management and perhaps get you pointed in the right direction. So stay on the line when we're done. Our team will get you your information and we'll get you that as our gift. I also want to give you a 6-month pro subscription to the FaithFi app so you can, if you want to, set up your budget, connect it to all of your credit cards and checking and savings accounts, have all of your transactions downloaded automatically, and you could begin using the digital envelope system to manage your money month to month. And so we'll get you set up with that as well, just as our gift to you. So you stay on the line. We'll get your information and make sure all those things come your way. Thanks for your call today, sir. Richard is in Michigan. Richard, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Hi. You talked quite a bit about the insurance of FDIC. And I heard one time that that insurance would not necessarily have to give you your money, your deposit in a bank, mm-hmm. in one lump sum. If bad times were to come, like in 2008, that they could piecemeal it out, say $100 a week or something like that. Have you ever heard about that?
You know, the only thing I would say, Richard, is that there is a myth that's out there that's pushed a lot of times, you know, by folks who hold financial seminars that say the FDIC can take up to 99 years to pay off account holders if a bank fails. Yeah, that claim is false and just without merit. Federal law does not define a period of time, but what it does say is that the FDIC has to pay deposit insurance, quote, as soon as possible. Now, for insured deposits, those, you know, within the deposit insurance limits of $250,000 per bank, per account type, the FDIC, you know, has, as far as I know, in every case I've seen, they've paid within a few business days of a closing or a failure of a bank. Usually it's the next business day. Now, if we were to get into real, we were to have a debt crisis and real liquidity problems like some other nations have had, you know, would that, you know, put any kind of, would that slow that down at all? Perhaps it could, but I think it would just be a functional matter as opposed to, you know, anything else where, you know, they're trying to limit the payback, because keeping the financial system operating and the money flowing is obviously the role of the central bank to make sure that the liquidity is there and that the solvency is there, and making sure depositors have their funds is really, you know, critical. And that's the role of the FDIC. So I think, you know, when we look at the law, it's defined as soon as possible. And if we look at the actual way that's worked itself out in every case to this point, we've seen that it's, if it's not the next day, it's within a few days. So again, you know, if we were to look at the plausibility of a debt crisis here in this country, could that happen? Sure. It's more likely now at 135% of GDP with our national debt than it was, you know, when we were at 50%, and the trends aren't heading in the right direction. So we need to, you know, make some real changes, longer term here in this country. But at the same time, when we're grading against every other nation of the world, we're still in, you know, much better shape in terms of the size and strength of our economy. I think any potential debt crisis is still way down the road. And I think the U.S. is in a pretty good spot, although policy matters. And that's why we need to show up and vote. And we need to make sure we're putting elected officials in there that are going to act in the best interest of the U.S., of the Americans. And I think follow biblical principles, which we clearly see God's design for economies and productivity and the value of human life and all of the things we see in God's word that need to be adhered to with regard to how we function as a nation economically. And I think that's why it's so important that we have folks who understand that, who are making legislative decisions on our behalf. But at the end of the day, Richard, to your question, there is not anything in there that would allow the FDIC to do what you're describing. And I think a lot of folks are saying that and putting that out just to, you know, generate a lot of fear mongering at the end of the day. We appreciate your call today, sir. God bless you. Well, folks, we've covered a lot of ground today. I'll tell you, you know, as we think about our role in managing God's money, it's a high calling. And so it does require that we step back and start with this idea of saying, Lord, what would you have me to do with your resources? How can I be found faithful? And I think that's always going to come down to living with contentment, realizing the abundance that we have in Christ before even the first dollar, and then realizing that money is ultimately a tool to accomplish his purposes. And when we do that, it puts money in its proper context and allows us to then be found faithful and be the hands and feet of Jesus to a world that ultimately needs him. You know, our money, the way we work out our financial decisions, I think is one of the key ways that God shapes us spiritually. So take a hard look at how you're handling God's money. What story does it tell about what's most important to you? And then decide if you need to make some changes. I hope this program's an encouragement to you each day as we come together to see if we can find God's heart as it relates to the decisions and choices we're making together financially. Thanks for tuning in. Let me say thanks to my team today, Jim Henry, Pat Montague, and Devin Patrick. Couldn't do it without them. Grateful for you being along with us as well as we change our name and go into a new year as Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and on behalf of my team, great to have you with us today. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.